So previously, right, we really got to like the very, I think, very important conclusion in terms of chalipin. That really there are two options, two ways to look at our, look at our problem with kiddushei chalipin. I wanted to say that there's something wrong with chalipin. There's something, let's say, offensive to us in chalipin or ineffective about chalipin. That just, it doesn't make it when it comes to trying to accomplish kiddushin. And we really have three formulations, and then plus one for that, right? We had the formulation of the Rashba, who said, look, all I want you to do is a kinyan. But at the end of the day, that kinyan is really trying to create the response of, we were going to say as like feeling valued and respected, but you could formulate it in a less romantic way. But essentially this idea, like, it has to express kavod, it has to express respect for the other party. And if it doesn't, then if they don't feel that, then you're not creating the necessary response, which would create ishus, because ishus also demands, right, not just a like a formal action, but also a genuine relationship between them. And if you're trying to create that even through a formal action, that formal action needs to evoke that personal relationship, right? Which again is just an interesting combination of the formal and the practical, right? There's the formal concept. Oh, here's the ma'aseh kiddushin. Then there's the practical component of, of okay, but now it actually needs to, right, create the results in the real world. Sort of like engineering. You have the math in, but like if your math works, but your machine doesn't, so you did all the math right, you built the machine properly, it still doesn't work, right? Every time you hit go, like the machine, like starts shooting out sparks and pot mountains of black acrid smoke. You did something wrong. It doesn't matter that you did everything right on the formal level. And that's really the Rashba's approach, right? Formalistically, it works, but it's just not going to create the necessary response. And ultimately, by ishus, you need to create that result. On the other hand, we have Rashi who said that the problem is more fundamental than that, right? It's you're simply not doing a ma'isa kiddushin, right? Kiddushin, right? Chalipin, because it's gnai hula, right? Anything that's gnai hula isn't even the action of kiddushin. It's not that it doesn't create that right result. You're not doing the right action, right? The action of kiddushin is whatever it is that it's trying to accomplish somehow is negated inherently by the fact that it's gnai hula, right? And then again, that brings us to the question of, well, why is, right, kiddushei kesef? What is a kiddushei kesef then doing? Okay? We understand it's not gnai hula, but how exactly does it create this relationship? And then we had the Ran who said, the Torah couldn't be referencing chalipin, even though fundamentally there's no real reason why it couldn't, but it couldn't be referencing chalipin because, right, no woman would accept this, right? It's offensive to her. And then lo isha b'palchim shavapud lo makanya nafsha, and therefore the Torah wouldn't be telling you that that's what you're supposed to be doing. Now the question is, if formalistically it's the same, or it should be the same, why is the fact that in reality she wouldn't accept it matters? He says, oh, because that's not what the Torah must be referencing. So we want it to be medayik based on that, and that the Ran sees it almost like there are these natural things, which would be the beginning of a relationship, which the Torah is then giving formal status to, right? It's like with the classic halachic chicken and the egg, how much is something effective, right? Or should be effective or relevant, and then the Torah gives it formal status, right? Or, right, there's Torah wants you to do something and tells you, oh, okay, go do that, and that will be the creation of X. Right, so here the Ran, I think, might be saying that really you'd start a relationship with giving gifts, and this is what I'm gonna put it down. That giving of the matana is in itself, like that beginning of the bridge building that creates a relationship. And that's only going to right, that's only true by kesef, by nesinas matana, as opposed to chalipin. And therefore, therefore, even though formalistically they have very similar mechanisms, chalipin is not going to work. Okay. And that pointed us towards this idea that we're also, again, we're looking for like a sort of natural beginning to a relationship. There are different ways you could do that. So it gives you three options. But ultimately, if it's like a natural beginning of a relationship, right, with a clear, formal significance, then, then we can also sort of say, ah, well, this, this isn't going to cut it. right? This doesn't make sense. And then going back to Rashi, we could say, oh, okay, fine, right? The Ran says like gift giving, and you know, it has like a certain like, what's the Torah talking about? What would make sense? Maybe Rashi is saying something along the same lines, which is, right, you're trying to create this relationship. You're trying to express, right, the beginning of a relationship between the two of them. And giving a matana, giving like kedusha kesef, right, harayach mekudeshli with a ring. Giving a ring is an expression of that. While chalipin, right, gnai hula, is not an expression of that. It's not simply that it won't evoke the appropriate response. It's not the right mice. Okay. And then we've pointed out, but according to Ramban and Tosfos, you know, why not chalipin? Right? What's wrong with chalipin that says that chalipin is just not part of kasef, and therefore just not shayach to kiddushin? How does it work then? Okay. Number two is the Rambam. Because the Rambam, he doesn't mention chalipin. He just doesn't mention kinyan chalipin and the fact that chalipin doesn't work. He only talks about matana menas lahachzir. Okay? And what's even more problematic is that the Rambam said that by chalipin and matana menas lahachzir in Mekudeshes, why? Because lomatya hana liyada. She didn't get anything, right? Even though formally, right, we showed that matana menas lahachzir is a perfectly acceptable kinyan by dine mamanes, and you, on a Kinyan Kesef level, you gave the money over and the Kinyan Kesef was effective. And there's an external Tanai that then makes you give it back. Right? That's sort of external. By Kiddushin, it doesn't work. So Tosa said, but it's a Kinyan Kesef. So Tosa's answer was, yeah, it's only Pasul Medrabanan, right? Which made us all frown, right? We all made faces. But Tosa is kind of forced to say that because Tosa sees it in the terms of, right, the mechanics, or you know, the physics of it, or the math of it, of like, okay, well, what kinyan are you doing? You're doing kesef, so kiddushe kesef is effective. Who cares that there's an external tanai that forces her to give back the object at the end? Right, according to the Rashi, Rajba, Ran approach that we were talking about, it actually makes perfect sense why matana menas lahachzir wouldn't work, right? Because at the end of the day, right, it very much could fit in that same model of what's wrong with chalipin. The problem with the Rambam says that by kiddushei matana menas lahachzir, it doesn't work because lo matya, you know, klum liyada, she didn't get anything, right? He didn't actually give her anything because he's taking it back afterwards, right? So what matters most, says the Rambam, is the act of giving. Independent, right? And the fact that it was formally a good kinyan kesef is irrelevant to us, basically. Kiddushei Kesef is a way of him giving her something, right? And she receiving hana from him and getting hana from him is what really counts. And it doesn't sound like it's not even the Kinyan Kesef that counts, right? The Kinyan Kesef isn't what matters. It's the hana demata yadis, the fact that he is giving her hana and she's deriving hana from what he's doing, right? That's what creates the kiddushin. But then the question becomes, okay, well, in chalipin, she also is getting, right? She also could be getting hana. So what's wrong with chalipin, okay? So now our question really is, what is kinyan chalipin? Why is it different than kesef? And then to try to come back to the Rambam and try to explain why for the Rambam, it's not going to, you know, not going to cut it, okay? Okay, so kinyan sudar. Okay, we'll just start calling kinyan sudar because there are really two different types of kinyanim. Okay, there's chalipe shave b'shave, where you take an ox and a cow, and I need an ox, you need a cow, we swap them. And where you do this, you know, the more formalistic version, where you give someone a handkerchief, and in return, they're machnas something to you. So Rabbeinu Tam, when he's trying to explain, like, what is chalipin? So Rabbeinu Tam actually says that v'teda shechalipin bechlal kesef. You know, but don't think, he goes through our whole question, where he said, oh, chalipin is not kesef, right? Because otherwise, right, it would be included in kicha kicha. V'tida shechalipin bichlal kesef. So he says, well, really, it is part of kiddusha kesef, of kesef, sorry, kinyan kesef. The chitnan nechasim sheish lanachrayos, meaning karka, is niknim bekesef sharo bechazaka, loktani chalipin. The Mishnah, when it's telling you how you can be kone karka, doesn't mention chalipin. Why not? So he says, because to bechal kesef is nihu. Because when we said kesef, that includes chalipin, right? V'hai darmina l'gabe evi k'nani v'chule. Okay, what's the problem? Rabbeinu Tam, right, who's aware of our question, Because that's literally the first part of his statement, right? Right, so Chalip is really Shavu Kesef. Right, so you can't be mechalik b'toch the kinyan since the word is pachsim shavruta, it doesn't work for kiddushin. But chalipin is just a form of kiddushin kasa of kinyan kasa. Right, that just makes our question more troublesome, right? More problematic. Yeah, Tehila.
I was just wondering, because when I was reading it, I'm not entirely sure, like, what does it mean to be mechalek within a kinyan?
What do you mean? He's saying it's says, not... Yeah.
When he says it's mechalek, what does he mean?
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. I thought you were talking about something different. Yes. Lo mekan yid'ein lechalek b'kinyan, if kiddush, if chalipin doesn't work with cases where you did a pachas mishav pruta, then the kinyan categorically is ineffective. Now, you're right, which is, wait a second, if the whole problem is only because it's Pachlim Shavapruta, then why not be Mechalek B'Toch HaKinyan, right? So, right, Rabbi Natan has to be Modeh that the problem by the fact that it can be done by Pachlim Shavapruta needs to reflect something fundamental about the Kinyan, and the whole Kinyan is ineffective, right? The problem here is that he's kind of doing both, where he's on the one hand saying, oh, Chalipin is really Bechalal Kesef, but then he's saying that, you know, Chalipin, even though it's Bechalal Kesef, right, since it works, Pachal B'Shevar Pruta is not Shaykh to Ishus, but it's part of Kesef, right?
Yeah, so is he implying that Pachal B'Shevar Pruta is part of Kesef?
So Chalipin Pachal B'Shevar Pruta is still part of the category, the Kinyan Kesef.
So how does that work?
Exactly. So I think what you have to basically say for Rabbeinu Tam, right, he's kind of holding, like a bit of a, like, you know, he's
sort of being mechalik in one type of Kinyan and not in another. One type of Kiddushin and not another.
Or cases of Kesef, right? They're like, exactly. Well, it's just a problem because what was Tosus's answer? What was the Ramban's answer? Right? What's our Havamina? Our Havamina was that Chalipin is just a type of Kiddush, of Kesef, right? Chalipin is just a type of Kinyan Kesef. And the answer was Pachas Mishavar Pruta, and therefore you see that it's not Kesef, right? Or it's not exactly Kesef. It's similar to Kesef, maybe it's a subcategory of Kesef, but it's not really Kesef, right? That was Tosus and Ramban's answer. Our Havamina is that Chalipin is Kesef. Kamash Malan, Chalipin is not Kesef. Rabbi Natan here is saying, you see that Chalipin is Kesef. And Chalipin is included in Kesef. And when I say Kesef, I mean also Chalipin. And therefore, in the Mishnah, when I'm telling you how to be Kona Sadeh, I don't have to tell you that you can use Chalipin, because when I said Kesef, that includes Chalipin as a matter of course. But if that's true, so aren't we just back at our original question? And he says, oh yeah, but it works Pachas Mishav Pruta and in the Chalik Bikinyan. But if it's in the Chalik B'Kinyan, then why are we being Mechalik within Kinyan Kesef? Right? If Chalipin is really just a type of Kinyan Kesef. Right? So I think what you have to say is that in Dine Mamonis, Chalipin is really just part of Kinyan Kesef. Right? But when it comes to Kinyan Ishus, which is, right, according to Balei Tosos, something very different, right? It might be part of the same meta concept of Kinyanim. Right? There's meta concept of Kinyanim with one branch in Choshen Mishpat and one branch in Eben Ezer, but the Eben Ezer branch is really totally different. In which case, right, we're not going to say that Kinyani Isha, like Ishus, that Chalipin is Bechlal, but when it comes to Choshen Mishpat, it is. Right? Now, again, I think that just emphasizes that, you know, for Rabbeinu Tam to say this and not bat an eyelash on what, you know, what we was bothering us a second ago, he really has to make that a very strong chiluk between Kinyane Ishos and Kinyane Mamon. Because by Kinyane Mamon, he's saying Chalipin is just Bechlal Kesef. It's just another way of doing Kinyan Kesef. And by Ishos, it's just not relevant, and in the Chalik Pekinian, so we toss all of Chalipen out the window. Yeah, Tihila.
I just want to clarify something about Kinyanei Kesef in general. Did we get the Pachot Mishra Pruta doesn't count from Kiddushin, or is that like an existing concept in Choshen Mishpat elsewhere?
That's an existing concept that less than Shavar Pruta is like not considered money.
In my opinion, that's the bigger question, because for Rabbeinu Tam, you can just apply the opinion from Tosfot earlier that Kinyanei Ishod is just fundamentally different than Kinyanei Mamona, and you're fine. But if Pachot Mishra Pruta doesn't work in Mamon in general, how on earth are you sticking Chalipin in there in any situation?
Okay, so that's a good question. But ultimately, right, you know, however, Chalipin does need it to be a Kli. It needs to be like a vessel. So even though you could argue, and I think it makes a lot of sense, that once something is like a Kli and has like a specific use, the fact that it's less than a Shavar Pruta, right, kind of changes the picture. It's still monetarily, in terms of its monetary value, is like not really money. But once it's like a Kli, you know, maybe that really is, and it's useful and significant in that sense, and maybe that, you know, that changes things somewhat. Also, the fact that Pachas Mishra Pruta is not Mamon is a little bit tricky, because let's say if a guy steals Pachas Mishra Pruta, he is Chayiv Misa, and we say that the reason why Jews don't have to give back Pachas Mishra Pruta is because you're Mochel. So it's not money, but it is money. So what's it mean? It's not significant money. It's not like, it's not a meaningful amount of money. So that's also like a tricky question. Right. You're asking if it's part of Kinyan Kesef, how could it be part of Kinyan Kesef if it's not money? Yeah. I think that's a very good question. What might that imply about Kinyan Kesef?
Can I use the idea that you said about Chashivah?
Okay, so you could say it's about Chashivas, definitely. Yeah,
like if you use that Svara, which I think it's the next person on the Daf Mekor, right? Because there was someone who talks about Chashivah with Chalipin. But if that's true, then it's just like an exchange of something that's valuable.
Okay, right. So the other thing you say is that it's about exchange, and then it's not, so then Kesef might be less about Kesef, and more about exchanging something useful. The problem is that a bit of time sounds like it's really just a subcategory of Kesef, and there's Kesef, there's money, right? There's the significance of handing over the money. You know, but yeah, maybe that's all about, really, that's a more symbolic form of exchange, but it's still exchange, right? So the Ran also thinks that Chalipin is like Mitoras Kesef, right? Lama yehi batal Toras Chalipin ha-shavin pruta b'kidushin, kivan she-pachas mishra pruta lo nisbatlu machmas pisol kniyasan ela machmas kpeidasa shalisha. So he says, lefi daiti, shtei koshis halalu ha-achas mitaratis le-chaverta,
Right,
I would have thought that since it's a kli shalim, it's significant. As he says, really, it is a type of Kesef. It's not exactly the same as Kesef. I mean, at times you think that it's really just like a form of Kesef, but it's just Kesef. But the Ram thinks that it's also working fundamentally in the same way, right? Then it's like the Chashivos of the Kli is the same as Kesef. But, you know, for historical reasons, psychological reasons, it doesn't work. The Ritva says no, right? Zuraya the Chalipin av bifnei atzmohim. Vilav told it the Kesefim. He says no, Chalipin is actually not just a type of Kinyan Kesef, right? It's a totally different type of Kinyan. Okay, what type of Kinyan is it? So, right, we're talking about exchange, right? Or let's, you know, a different term, which is barter, right? It's like barter, right? It's like, you know, quid pro quo. I have A, you have B. I need B, you need A. Right, so
couldn't you say then that the Kesef is a version of Chalipin then?
Yes, exactly. Right, so according to Rabbeinu Tam, you know, like, what do you mean? Does that mean that all of, which way is Rabbeinu Tam taking things? Right, is all of Kesef really just a form of, you know, of, let's say, mathematical barter? Right, we're just converting this into numbers, and then were bartering using numbers instead of actual cows and goats, but fundamentally it's still barter, right? Or in the opposite direction, are we saying no, right? Really, it's all formal, right? It's a formal kinyan, right? It's an expression of, you know, of a value, right? And that's a very good question. Which way is Rabbi Natan going? My inclination is that Rabbi Natan is going in the formal direction, but I don't know, right? That's, I think, really a big part of our question, which is, you know, if, you know, what's really going on. Also, just something that we can point out is that you don't necessarily have to say that Kesef works the same way in all cases. Okay, we're going to hopefully see that later. Right, when you're Kone Karka, is that working this with Kesef? Is that the same as when you're, let's say, Kone Metaltolin with Kesef? Because Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish is Ma'armos Konos Dvar Torah by Metaltolin. Midoreisa, can you be Kone Metaltolin with money, with Kesef? Okay? Fundamentally, when you, like, you know, when you're buying, you know, I don't know, a pair of shoes, are you able to be Kone by giving over the money? And like Midarbanan, we don't do that because, you know, we're worried that you won't actually get your, as a protection for the buyer, right? So the liability is still the seller's until he delivers the product. Or, no, midaraisa, you actually need to pick up the object in order to own it. Right? Everyone agrees that by karka, you could be koneh b'kasef. Okay? So if you think that both of those work midaraisa, right, are those the same thing? So there are shitos who are mechalik between kinyan kesef by karka and kinyan kesef by metaltlin. So even within kinyan kesef, maybe kinyan kesef is not always, you know, is not always... right, is sometimes more formalistic and sometimes more practical. Right? If it's barter, then it's very practical, I think, right? What's an example? When it comes to chalipin shava b'shada, when you're actually bartering, right, two things, right? Mecharli be'elu kana ve'en lo lo'olam ona, shita, dam ve'en mak b'leem ha'karmina dikani, kechalipin damu. And chalipin, right? So if it's kechalipin, it's a case in the Gemara. But what's important about the case is it says that if you do chalipin of shaveh b'shaveh, harisha tefeach parasav omed, ubachaveh v'amar praskan lama, l'chamor chanitzarech, yesh li chamor shani notin lach, parascha b'kama b'kach b'kach, chamor b'kama b'kach, mashach ba'al chamor sapara, v'lohispek ba'al para limshach es hachamor, ad shemes hachamor, lo kana ba'al chamor sapara. Shema minal chalipin umakbar lehem lo kan. Let's say you're doing barter. So the Gemara says if you do barter of two objects that are relatively equal in value, there's no din of ona. Even if one is more than a sixth the value of the other, the barter is not going to trigger the law of ona, which says that you can't overcharge someone by more than a sixth. Okay? You can't charge someone more than a sixth of the market value, more than an extra sixth of the market value, and have the mecher be kayim. Okay, so the question is why? Right. So the answer is that when it comes to barter, right, you're not. It's not a question of this object has value and you're taking more value than you deserve, right? Which is the law of ona, right? It's extortion. Barter says I have an object A, I need B. You have B, you need A, right? So we'll swap. We're exchanging ownership. We're exchanging ownership not based on the monetary value. Right, of the objects, right? It's not a formal, let's say, economic interaction, right? It's a swap because we need different things, right? But a barter, right, is different than something's, you know, it's not really about something's, financial monetary value, right? It's not a commodity anymore. It's barter. It's, you know, shove the b'shave. I need A, you need B. Right? It's just like a different economic system. Now, once that's true, right? So that's clearly, I think, you know, not symbolic. The transfer, the swap is inherent in barter, right? We're swapping our objects and it's tied into the object. So then there's no ona because it's not about the money anymore. Okay. So
in that case, what's the concept of makpi here? I thought that has to do with like specific amounts.
Correct. So let's say you're swapping, but you have them both evaluated first. right? You're swapping shada to shada. You're doing barter, but you're doing barter, right? And you evaluate the monetary prices of each one. Is that considered chalipin of shava de shava, or is that really a form of tashlumin be shava kasef, right? The cow is worth money. I'm using it as a means of paying off my debt. Okay? So the Gemara really kind of leaves it open. It sounds like, right, v'chi v'shutfini askinan, we're dealing with fools who don't care about their money. Obviously, every case of barter, the person more or less wants to get the value of his, you know, a fair value, right? Atu chalipin b'shutfini askinan, we're dealing with, you know, with fools. The lo kapti, ela kol chalipin mikvad kapti v'kana, right? Nonetheless, it still works. So even though they care about the monetary value, the fact that it's a barter and not a sale, right, is different, and it works differently, and there's no din of onah. Okay, so that implies that there's something called barter. Barter is different than kesef, right? Unlike, you know, what we've been seeing until now. So then, right, the Rambam also just talks about it, right? Metalton, when you're dealing with hichlif para bechamor, is different, and it has its own dinim. And it's, you know, it's barter. It's a separate kinyan. Okay, so the prisha, says that Ratzel Omer kinyan sodar. Oops. So he's like, what's the relationship then? So between shave b'shave and sodar. Okay, when you do sodar, where you give the person the handkerchief, is that fundamental? Is that like, oh, you're doing barter, right? Or it's like a different kinyan, okay? So mashkas b'kesef b'shar b'chazaka mishnu parakidish mashkas of the kinyan. It also says ubikin, you can be kone b'kinyan. What's that mean? Ratzolomar b'kinyan sodar dehainu chalipin ve'inu sham b'mishna aval mevur hu b'kam mekomos b'talmud v'ha dekaru stam kinyan nikra mipnei zeh haya ikar kinyanam. Okay, why is it called kinyan? When we just say kinyan, we mean kinyan sodar, because that was the normal kinyan. Right? The hasam sadehava after one inami lahachi nikra kinyan sodar stam kinyan lefisha kol echad makne lechaveru dvan ma shari in chalipin below kli mashinkin b'shar kinyanim she'echad kon levado. Has what's important? What's unique about kinyan sodar is that both people are being koneh. Right? There's no one seller and one buyer. They're both, you know, getting something. Ukidin b'mecher, kein hadin b'schiros, k'moshkasav rabinu. This is the reason why sudar is universal is because there's no buyer and seller, right? It turns them both into buyers. They're both being kone, right? There's something like universal about it, okay? And Ritva, you know, so what's interesting here is that the Prisha, you know, seems to be assuming that Kinyan Sudar, right, makes them both equal in terms of both being kones, right? I mean, if I swap a cow and a mule, so you can understand why both of us are being kone, right? But if I give you a handkerchief to be kone or sade, right, why is it so obvious to the Prisha that we're both considered kone? Right, clearly he's assuming that sudar is the same as chalipe shave be shave, right? It's the same as barter. You're doing barter, so you're both being kone, right? Which changes it from a sale, right, and from treating something as a commodity, and now I'm treating it as, you know, as an object in and of itself. Okay, the Ritva also, right, says tmura zu chalipin pirsh chalipin mamish. Right, so chalipe sudar is the same as chalipin mamish. Okay, they both function the same way. Right, so two things. Right, so you have chalipe shave b'shave, which is barter. Right, it's like it's quid pro quo. There's no onah. There's no extortion there because, right, I wanted object A, you wanted object B. So as long as we both knew what we're getting, it's a fair trade. Even if monetarily it's not a fair trade, because it's not a monetary interaction, right? And it's a natural kinyan. Okay? So, right? One option, right? That it's just a chilek of kinyan kesef. That was shita Rabbeinu Tam. Right? It's really just a subcategory of kinyan kesef. Now, right? And the question becomes, okay, well, what is kinyan kesef? Right? And I think it forces us really to say that kinyane ishos are very, very different than kinyane choshen mishpat. Right? Because Rabbeinu Tam is willing to say that it's absolutely part and parcel of kinyan kesef. When it comes to ishos, it's totally not part of kesef. Okay? The other option is to say that kinyan sudar is part of chalipe shaveh b'shaveh. It's barter, right? It's a demonetized transfer. And right, and the Ritva says that, you know, kinyan sudar is, you know, part of chalipe shaveh b'shaveh. Okay? So it's part, sudar is really just a more symbolic form of barter. At the end of the day, it's still barter. You're using the mechanism of barter, right? It's a swap. And since it's a swap, you know, money doesn't come into it. Okay, now, according to that, right, what do we say about Ishos? Why doesn't it work by Ishos? Everything is barter.
Well, what would be the two-way exchange?
Exactly, right? You're not like swapping, you know, oh, like, you know, here's a ring, and like, I want you, I want Ishos. Right. First of all, it's ishus isn't an object, right? You know, woman is not an object. Modern society, set aside. So, if you know, it just chalipa and the idea of barter just is not very relevant. That's number one. You know, and at this point, well, what would the exchange be, right? Barter is just a different concept. It's about swapping. So ishus shouldn't be a creation of barter. You could say that a formal kinyan of kesef, or like the matana of kesef, could be effective as creating ishos. But if it's chalipe shaveh b'shaveh, if it's really a form of barter, it's a symbolic form of barter, right? Why would barter create ishos? Right? It's not relevant. And number two is practically it's not relevant because there's no two objects that are being swapped, right? The only object involved is the ring. Okay, so that actually really would very simply solve our entire issue, right? If we're trying to say, why wouldn't chalipin work, especially according to, you know, to the Tosos and the Ramban, who wanted to say that, you know, the problem is just that chalipin is not bichlal kesef, right? So, okay, chalipin doesn't work because chalipin is barter, so barter is not relevant to Ishus. Yeah, Rachel.
Oh, there was just one point that, excuse me, went over my head. I don't know which one it was. I think it was Kenyan Sitter. We said it was a natural Kenyan.
We're saying barter. We were saying barter. Is like a natural, okay, right? Barter, yeah. Is a natural Kenyan. Barter is the natural state of, you know, the natural state of the economy before they, you know, invented currency. And, you know, that makes sense, right? I need A, you need B. So we trade for it. It's a trade, right? Trading is, you know, is normal, right? The creation of currency conceptualizes, you know, the product from not, you know, from an object into a commodity. All right, commodities are already different. Their value is much more abstract.
So then in the Gemara, when they were talking about when, at what point were they both Mikana, the objects, their respective objects, was it when one of them picked up something or when both? That was just the point I didn't follow.
In Chalipin, in barter, whenever one of them does Meshicha and is Kone one of the objects, the other one automatically is Kone the other. Right? Because it's a swap. So once one person is Kone, the other person is automatically Kone the other. Because the whole interaction is one of exchange. Right? Okay.
But doesn't that strengthen the idea of there being one buyer and not that in this situation they're both buying?
Chalipin of exchange, of barter, is they're both buyers, right?
So, yeah, but the action is as soon as one of them does Meshicha, it counts for the other, right?
Yeah, but that's just because now they have swapped.
Okay, so I'm just curious. I don't really understand how that applies into the case in the Gemara with the donkey that dies because one of them has done Meshicha.
Yeah, so the Gemara there said, oh, let's say, you know, the Gemara there explains that in that case, he would have been Kone, that's the case where you're selling, you're swapping like a donkey and a cow and a goat for a cow or something like that. So therefore, right, you haven't completed the, he's only was did Mashiach on the donkey, but not on the goat, right? So he hasn't done Mashiach on everything that he's buying. The Gemara explain, it basically says that it, exactly what you're saying, which is, yeah, in a Hanami, in that case, you would be Kohen. That's the Gemara's answer.
What's unique about that case? I don't follow.
If I'm trading two objects for your one object, and you're Moshech one, but not the other, so then you've been Moshech one, but not the other, right? So you haven't done Mashicha on all of the things that we're swapping. So since you haven't gotten your half of the bargain, I don't automatically get my half of the bargain.
Okay, so let's say, I don't know, I'm exchanging my pen for your scarf. You pick up my pen, I haven't picked up your scarf. That's still a valid Canaan, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But let's say I was exchanging
all the things that we're exchanging. So how's that not equivalent to the Gemara?
The Gemara brings up that case. The Gemara says, wait a second, but it says that you're not Kohen. The Gemara says, no. In that case, you would be Kohen. The case that we're dealing with, that the of this Brisa, is where I'm being Kohen your scarf, and you're being Kohen two pens. And you only picked up one of the pens. The answer is that you're absolutely correct. The Gemara, you know, basically says that, and it says, like, you know, we got the case wrong. For exactly that reason, right? Because if it's Chalipin, of Shavu B'Shavu, if it's barter, and once you get one, it automatically transfers ownership of the opposing object. Okay? So basically right now, so we have two options, right? One is that Kinyan Seder is really barter, in which case we're absolutely amazingly, you know, we're done with our question of, well, why doesn't it work by Ishus, right? If it's Midin Kesef, it's really just a form of Kesef, then it really just emphasizes that Kinyan Ishus is very disconnected from Choshen Mishpat, right? Kinyan Sudar, because it could work Pachas Mishava Pruta, then you just, even though in terms of the Nimamonis, it's exactly just a subcategory of Kesef, Gabe Ishus, it's totally out and totally not on the books, because it could work Pachas Mishava Pruta, and you know, that would be unacceptable to in the world of Ishus. And therefore, all of Kinyan Chalipin is out, even though it's really just a subcategory of Kesef when it comes to Kinyan Choshen Mishpat. Right? That's Rabbeinu Tam. And that just really, I think, emphasizes the idea that, you know, when Tosfos says that Kinyan Ishos Lechod and Kinyan Choshen Mishpat Lechod, they mean it. You know, in Choshen Mishpat, it's absolutely just a subcategory of Kesef. And in Ishos, it's, you know, it's booted, even if it's Shavpruta, because it could be Pachas Shavpruta, and just like knocks it out. And it's treated as like a totally distinct, you know, type of king. Okay, but what about the third option? What if it's its own Kinyan Sudar is distinct also from Chalipe Shave B'Shave? Okay, why? So here's our problem, and here I'm going to quote my father. So Gemara says Bamekonim, right? When talking about Kinyan Sudar, so Rav Amar Bekeilav Shokone, De Nichale Lekone, De Lehevi Makne Kone. Right. And Levi says, oh, use the kelev shel makne. So let's first start with Rav. What does Rav say? Why are you going to use kelev shel kone? I have a very simple answer. Three Latin words. If, right, there's the kone, I want to buy something from you guys. So you have the object. I want to get it from you. Rav says that I give you an object. I give Tehillah a pen, and then I get Tehillah a scarf, right? Why? So there's a very common Latin phrase that, you know, that explains why we would do that. Quid pro quo, right? Quid pro quo, you know? What should the Gemara say? Rav Amar Kelev Shel Kone, quid pro quo, right? He's being Kone. He should be getting in return the equivalent, right? But what does Rav say? Rav does not say quid pro quo. If we're dealing with Chalipe Shave B'Shave, if we're dealing with barter, right? If we're dealing with a quid quo quo interaction, then Rav should say, Kelo Shokona Kadeshie quid pro quo, right? But Rav doesn't say that. In fact, Rav doesn't. Rav gives you like quite a mouthful. For someone saying something that's so obvious to us, right? For the person who has like the very like, Pasha, you know, we would say like Pshita Lamalikra almost, like, of course it's Kelo Shokona, right? Rav's answer is what? If someone translate that, someone should translate that for us. Yeah. Give us like a translate.
Rav says, Sudar happens with the kelim of the buyer because it's more comfortable for the buyer that he sells something, that the buyer sells something so that he, and I think that's referring to the actual seller, is more, agrees and gives over and sells the item to him.
Right. Now, right, if that was, you know, leaves you all scratching your heads, you're doing the right, good job, right? So what is, you know, like, what's he trying to say, right? Or actually, you know, translate like a slightly, like, differently, right? It's preferable or it is desirable for the buyer that the seller should acquire something so that the seller will commit and transfer ownership to him. Right? That's just like, what? Right? So now if we go to Levi, right? Levi was also, right, mind-boggling. What was Levi's for? Levi Amar Bekelev Shel Makne, which is even like, what? Why would you think that? Behahi hana de mekabel mine gamar ve'iknile. Okay, with the hana that he is receiving from the other guy, right? That the other guy received it from him, he commits and is makne to him. Okay, so the binding word, or the word that comes up here that really defines everything, seems to have, both for Rav and Levi, even though Rav we would have thought would just say quid pro quo. So it's not about quid pro quo, says Rav, right? Unlike what the Ritva seems to be saying. It's that diligmar vilikni mine. And the Levi says, no, you want the makne to do it because de hahu anad de kamekalimne gamar viiknile. Right? It's about getting them to have gemiras das, commitment to transfer ownership. Right? So, right, says Rashi. The hanas kabbalah so mimenu right matana asakli shachashvo the kabel mimenu matana noach lo kilo nolosin akona matana rabba the gamar venosin hamakne leakarka, right? So Rashi says, oh, Rashi is trying to explain how this makes any sense. So Rashi says that like the hana that you're getting is as if you received something, and then it's almost like he got money from the other guy, right? So that kind of makes sense if you think what. That Levi holds that af kelav shel makne. That Levi holds, even if you want to, even the makne could do it. Either one could do it. Okay. Tosa says there is a day like that. Tosa says dafka bekelav shel makne, v'lo bekelav shel kone. According to Levi, it's not just that you could have the makne do it, right? Because then you get hana, and then it's as if you receive something, right? It has to be the makne. The Hamikra Yalef, because he learns it out from the pasuk of Shlaf Ishna Alo, right? The Levi Sever Emabat. Now, what's the problem here then? According to Tosos, if it's about getting Hana from him, right, what, that's better than getting something from another person, right? According to Tosos, Levi says it has to be the Kalim of the Makne, right? So the Meiri explains, what is Chalipin? Hamocher shehu akone hasudar machzir lebayla shalotia kavana ela kishkim shalokeach makne lo sudar ze. Right. What's the point of the kinyan? Shekishim shalokeach makne lo sudar ze. Believe shalim ubigmar das kachu makne lo oso sade. It's an expression of the gemiras das, an expression that he's committed to actually transferring ownership. Right. But what that does for us, says the Miri, is what? Is that it's not so much that, oh, formally where there's, it's a formalized kinyan, right? Or it's tashlumin, or it's piraon, or it's barter, or quid pro quo. It's not at all. It's purely symbolic. And it's purely symbolic because the actual kinyan is what? Is the gemiras das, right? It's that the fact that I'm doing this is symbolic of the fact that I'm really committed to transferring ownership. And I'm so committed to transferring ownership that ownership transfers. Okay? It's a kinyan of gemiras das. It's a kinyan that is created just by having complete commitment. Okay? The Ravid goes a step further and he says what? Kinyan is bifnei shnayim, ve'ino tzarach lomar k'silvu, is gemar bav basra, that chalipin is done in front of two people. Right? So it says the Ravid, l'ch'ora hadar minan lehu bifnei shnayim, lav mi pachad k'firahu, ela she'ino miskayim hamaisa ela b'shnayim. So it's not that you need the witnesses there to make sure that they actually, you know, do what they say and don't deny it, right? It's that you need edei kiyum. You need edim that make it effective. Why? Afilu hu modu lo shim mefachid mikvira gam maisa shiasa kol maisa maisa shiasa adam mechabero matanos umechiros umechilos vechilufei chifetz vechifetz v'havos kulam tzrichim shnayim. Right? For proof, you always need to edim. V'yesh me'am tzrichim k'siva. V'yesh enum tzrichim. Umhem no aleilu. Aval nireh kishar hadvarim miskaimim behoda shnehem ve'ilu in miskaimim ela be'edim. Lefiga chotzach lomar kiyum shtaros lomar shein miskaimim ela b'shlosha. Me'ata kinyan sudar, right? It's inum miskaimim ela be'edim. Okay? He says, no, you need edi kiyum. You need witnesses there because otherwise, right, it's, there's insufficient, like, commitment to create it. When you simply say something, right, and the whole mechayiv is your commitment, is your gemiras das, then says the Ravid, you need edei kiyum. You need edim there to give standing to the event. Okay? And they would really emphasize the idea that it's really a din and das. And if it's really a din and das, then, right, maybe you really need edim there in order to give you enough das. Okay? So one option is that kinyan sudah is really a form of kaseh. Right? One option is that it's barter. But the other is that it's a kinyan of gemiras das. Okay? But then the question is, why isn't it going to be effective for Isha Stavka? Right? Wouldn't you, Davka, think that like kinyan of gemiras das is perfect for Isha? It's all about commitment.
I think that makes the Tosfot Rid make a lot more sense.
Right. I think both Rabbi Natan, if he thinks that it's really just a type of kesef, or if he thinks that it's gemiras das, so then Tosfos Rid makes a lot of sense. And in fact, right, I think that makes more sense according to this than according to the Rabbi Natan Shita. Right? Why? Because what was like, because the Tosfos Rid, what did Tosfos Rid say at the end that like really, really knocked us off our horse? What was his Havamina? What was the Gemara's Havamina according to Tosfos Rid?
That it's like kinyan sudar for the sake of paying later.
Right. Right. It's the commitment to be mekadesh later, and you'd think that would work. Right? So chalipin, which is commitment, works for kedushin. Kedushin is all about creating commitment, right? It's all about the das, really, says the Tosfos Rid. And then he says, I would have thought that even the commitment to do it should be good enough. Right? Kamash Malan, since at the end of the day, it's not a significant enough ma'amad, it's not going to create ishas, right? But ultimately, says Tosfos Rid, it's all about the commitment. Okay, why then wouldn't we? So according to Tosfos themselves, right, or according to the Rambam, I think the answer is that what's the whole point of Kiddushin? Right? Why don't we just go straight to Nisuin? Nisuin should create the Gemiras Das of Ishas, right? So I think, let's back out for a second. I think our answer is that for the Rambam, for the Rambam, it's not so puzzling, or let's say for the other sheets, it's not so puzzling, even if it's a Kinyan of Gemiras Das. Because what are we trying to accomplish by Kiddushin? Right? We're trying to give a concrete moment for that commitment, right? We're trying to crystallize, right, the beginning of the relationship. And because dafka, we want to give it a concrete beginning, it's not surprising That's something that's purely, right, about commitment and purely about gemuras das, and it's purely, right, about intent, right, with no facts on the ground and with no actual formal action, right, that anchors it, would be insufficient to create the ishas. Right? That's number one. Number two, and this was just do our regalachas, is that, right, for the Rambam, on the one hand, right, again, good question, because the Rambam even says that stam kinyan, when we talk about kinyan, that means chalipin. That means kinyan sudar. Stam kinyan is kinyan sudar, and kinyan sudar is really about commitment, right? So why dafka kasef, right? So the Rambam says, right, unlike Rashi said, you need to like kesef shal kavod, right? The Rambam says, you need kesef shal hana. And I think according to both of these, he's emphasized something about the difference between chalipin, which is gemiras das, as opposed to kesef, which is that for Rashi, you're right that you have commitment, but chalipin isn't necessarily an expression of kavod, right? If you need kesef shal kavod, says Rashi, right? You need, right? It's one thing to, you know, in My Fair Lady, so at one point, like the Freddy, right? He's like this rich kid who falls in love with her. So he's like telling her how much he loves her. So, you know, so she says like, you know, don't just like, you know, tell me words, you know, show me. She has a whole song, like, you know, and like the Mila Mancha is always like, show me, you know, don't just say like, you know, don't pay me words, you know, say beautiful things, like, show me that you really, you know, care. And that's part of the idea. It's like, it's one thing to say it, you know, but for Rashi, we need Kesef Shel Kavod. For the Rambam, I think it's more than that. It's not good enough to have commitment. Rashi says you need an expression of that kavod. For the Rambam, it's similar. It's a little different. It's not good enough to be committed to each other, right? In order to create the relationship, right, you also need to do is create a relationship, right? Committing to a relationship is not the same thing as actually building it, right? You can have two people who like to decide, you know, they have an arranged marriage and they've decided to get married. They've committed to it, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that the relationship exists, right? As something that, you know, before they haven't had interaction yet, right? For the Rambam, the kesef shel hana, the giving her a gift that, right, creates, you know, that first opening the door, right, begins a relationship or an interaction is critical. So it's not, you know, when it comes to Dini Mamonis, of course you can suffice with Gemiras Das, because the whole point is about creating Gemiras Das. When it comes to Ishus, you need Kesef Shel Hana, right, because the gift giving is really the beginning of a relationship between the two parties. And you can't skip that with Gemiras Das. Gemiras Das is that you're committed to some interaction, right? But you haven't actually started a relationship. For the Rambam, it's about creating a commitment, ultimately, right? That's the point of Kiddushin. But you're creating commitment, right? By committing to a relationship. With Gemiras Das, there's no relationship yet in any sense, right? It's intent. It's great. You've committed intellectually. But you haven't created in reality, right? There's nothing in reality to be committed to. So for the Rambam also, even though when it comes to Chosha Mishpat, Kinyan Sedar is the ultimate Kinyan. It's the Kinyan. You look at it in Makoros, right? The Rambam just keeps going on about how, you know, Stam Kinyan is Kinyan Sadar, and Kinyan Sadar is like, can do this, and it can do that, and it can do this, and it can do that. And Tosa says, oh, doesn't the Gemara say that, like, that Kinyanim for Goyim are different than Kinyanim for Jews? And if it works for the Jews, it doesn't work for the Goyim. So Tosa says, oh, yeah, but Kinyan Sadar works for everyone. Why? Because it's axiomatic. It's the Kinyan. But if it's the Kinyan, why doesn't it work here? The answer is because it's the Kinyan. It's the best Kinyan for Chosha and Mishpat. Because what we really need most of all in Chosh and Mishpat is Gemiras Das, right? But by Ishas, we don't just need Gemiras Das, we need to create a relationship between them, right? So exactly what the element is, I think we're going to, you know, hopefully get into this a little bit more when we do, you know, Kesef as Kinyan Kesef and Kiddushi Kesef a little more. Although we're going to take like a short hiatus to like go, the Gemara starts like again with Kiddushi Kesef, so we're going to continue with the Gemara a little bit, and then we're going to get back to this to explore this a little more through that Gemara. But what we need is more than just Gemiras Das, right? We need Kesef Shel Kavod according to Rashi. We need Kesef Shel Hana according to the Rambam, right? But we need not just to have das for something, but we're trying to really create something befoal, in reality, with kiddushin. Okay, shukach.